in the hearing of good news. Pray with me. We gather on this day, Lord, and hear words familiar and yet always new. Familiar because we've heard them again and again, year in, year out. But always new because we need to be reminded of the reality of the resurrection. So now open our hearts, open our minds to receive what you have for us this day. And may the poor words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart together, may they give you the glory that is yours alone, through Christ. Amen. Years ago, I had occasion to travel to England for the inaugural meeting of the International Congregational Fellowships Theological Commission. My plane arrived late at night in London, and if you've ever flown into London to Heathrow Airport, you know what a large and confusing airport it is. And I got off feeling really alone. My friend and colleague, Dr. Janet Wooten, some of you have met her in the years since, said that she would arrange for me to have a place to stay. But other than that assurance, there'll be a place for you. I was a stranger in a strange land, and I was feeling it. I walked through customs. I walked through past people greeting friends and relatives, wondering how I would find my contact person. Lost in my thoughts of what will I do and where will I sleep, I was startled into consciousness by hearing my name called. Dr. Pei, Dr. Stephen Pei. I turned, and I was greeted by a gentleman holding a picture of me. He was my contact, and his family offered me gracious hospitality. I was no longer a stranger. I was recognized. Oh, I suppose it's a bit of a reach to compare my arrival at Heathrow Airport with Mary Magdalene at the tomb. However, as I read the gospel again, I couldn't get away from how wonderful it was to be recognized and then called by name, especially by a stranger. It's at once jarring, but also very comforting. Had Robert, for that was his name, not recognized me and called me by name, I would have never known who he was, nor would we have become the friends that we continue to be to this day. Had Mary not heard her name called by Jesus, she would have never known that he was the one she was seeking. In hearing her name, she recognized the Lord. Mary Magdalene was lost in her grief to begin with, and now there's nobody to mourn over. There's nobody to honor with ointments and spices. She'd come to the tomb. She found it open and the body gone. Immediately she went to Peter and John with the news. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've laid him. All of Jesus' teaching about how he would suffer, how he would die, how he would rise again, didn't even enter her mind. She had lost her teacher. She had lost her friend. She had lost the one who had loved her when no one else would. And now, someone had robbed the grave. It was more than one could take. So she followed Peter and John back to the tomb. I wonder if she tried to run along with them. They each entered and they came to believe that the Lord had risen from the dead indeed, though they hadn't yet caught the full meaning of what had happened. Mary, however, lingered. She lingered outside and she continued to linger even after Peter and John had hurried off. Eventually, she came back to the tomb and peered in, only to discover two strangers sitting in the tomb. John's gospel tells us that they were angels, messengers. But Mary wasn't amazed at these white-robed strangers. When they asked her why she was weeping, she told them what she told the disciples. But this time, however, listen to the difference. It wasn't we, but I. I don't know where they have laid him. Her grief, her disappointment were still so great that she couldn't comprehend the empty tomb. She was so caught up in herself that she couldn't see the wonder of what was happening all around her. Still lost in her grief, she turned and saw yet another stranger. The gospel tells us that she assumed that he was the gardener, and by her question to him, she thought he might know where Jesus' body had been taken. Then it happened. That mysterious stranger spoke her name, Mary. And here Jesus fulfills the word he had spoken earlier in John chapter 10. There he had said, "I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine know me. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Mary heard the voice, and she responded, "Master." There she recognized Jesus, and then, interestingly enough, probably thought that things were going to be just the same as they always were. But they weren't. And as Jesus talked with her, she understood more and more. She came to a new recognition, if you will, that she was truly in the presence of the risen one. Each year, we celebrate Easter. And it's a great festival for the church. It's a wonderful time for the family. And God knows, what would the candy makers do without it? We are all reassured with the news of the risen Lord and the empty tomb. But does it make a difference? Does it make a difference when we go back out the doors of the church and back into the everyday tasks that face us all? For many of us, I don't think it does. Since, like Mary Magdalene, we keep looking for something, someone, other than who is really there. We can't recognize Jesus because we're looking for a dead Christ. We're looking for a Christ of history, or a Christ of principle, or a Christ of theological proposition. What he taught and what he did touches and moves us, and so we look for him. But he isn't here. However, it isn't this Jesus of history or principle or theological proposition who waits to meet us. No, it is the risen Christ. He waits outside the tombs of our self-absorption and of our self-centeredness, ready to walk with us and ready to love us into freedom through every day of our lives. Just so you know, ministers and theologians have come to realize this as well. I am humbled and inspired every time I think of R.W. Dale, the brilliant 19th century British congregational theologian and minister, the first principal of Mansfield College at Oxford. And I tell this story almost every Easter because it has such a profound effect on me. So indulge me for a moment. Late in his career, he was preparing an Easter sermon. And this is what his son records. "The thought of the risen Lord broke in upon him as it had never done before. 'Christ is alive,' I said to myself. 'Alive.' And then I paused. 'Alive.' And then I paused again. 'Alive. Can that really be true? Living as really as I myself am?' I got up and walked about, repeating, 'Christ is living. Christ is living.' It was to me a new discovery. I thought that all along I had believed it. But not until that moment did I feel sure about it. I then said, 'My people shall know it. I shall preach about it again and again until they believe it as I do now.' Then began the custom of singing in Cars Lane Congregational Church every Sunday morning an Easter hymn." This distinguished theologian hadn't really comprehended that Christ is alive until that day when, as it were, he heard his name. And he recognized the risen Lord, and he responded. All of us, need to have our own personal Easters, where, like Mary Magdalene or Robert W. Dale, we hear our names and recognize the Lord's voice. The risen Lord wants us to come to this experience so that we can rise from all of the little deaths that we know. The resurrection, I believe, isn't just about the end of time. It's not about that great getting up morning, fare thee well." No, it speaks to us where we are, and it brings life to us, not in the hereafter, but in the here now. We may be buried in the tomb of self-centeredness. We may be dying the death of self-doubt, or dying the death of lack of worth. We may be sunk in the grief of mourning the loss of a loved one, or of a relationship gone sour. Whatever the little death we're experiencing, the risen Christ stands outside of our tombs and reminds us that they're empty. Death is defeated. Life reigns. If we listen for the voice of the risen one calling our name. The key here is that we respond. Someone can call our name again and again, and though we may be annoyed, it does nothing unless we respond. I was reminded of that this morning while reading the funnies. Do you ever read Zitz? That chap is really good. And this morning I thought it was particularly fine because he was yelling, showed the mom yelling for the young man, "Get up! Get up! Get up!" And he just doesn't do anything until finally he rolls over and looks at her and says, "Were you saying something? Speaking to me?" Until we respond to the voice, we won't leave like Mary Magdalene did, a renewed, a different person. And if we do that, if we hear the voice, if we respond, we will seek to live unselfishly, loving as we have been loved unconditionally. We will make a difference just by being who we are, because people will feel God's love, they will feel God's care, they will feel God's light flowing through us, all because Christ is alive. The resurrection is at the core of our Christian doctrine, but it's so much more than just teaching. It's so much more than words on a page. It's so much so more than just a statement that we say, "Credo, I believe." The resurrection is life. The resurrection is hope. The resurrection is love. The resurrection is the possibility of human fulfillment and authentic existence. As Dr. Ernest Campbell once preached at New York's Riverside Church, "It is easier to believe in Christ and hold to specific doctrines and principles than it is to simply follow Jesus' love, Jesus, and love others unconditionally as he did." To follow Jesus and love others unconditionally as he did. That's the point. Jesus called Mary's name not to believe, but to follow, to walk the way with him. And he does the same today for you and for me. Whether in a crowded airport or a shopping mall or a church or a restaurant at brunch or around the family dinner table today or even in the quiet of your home, listen for the voice. You may not hear it with your ear, but you will most certainly hear it with what the spiritual masters call the ear of your heart. And at that moment, you will know that Christ is alive. And for the first time, you will really know what it means to be alive. We are called by name, and Christ is alive. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.